Doris Belland has a lot of life experience, including the loss of her husband after years of dealing with his illness. She decided to put pen to paper and write about what she had learned. Belland is the author of Protect Your Purse, Shared Lessons for Women, Avoid Financial Messes, Stop Emotional Bankruptcies, and Take Charge of Your Money. She joins us now from Ottawa. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Nice to speak with you.
You've had quite a journey so far, including the loss of your husband, Malcolm. Why did you decide to write this book?
It took me a while to do it. I think it was 10 years into it. I started talking. I'm happily remarried. I've had two kids with my my husband, Mark. And I was telling Mark about those experiences. And it was through the stories that I shared with Mark. Mark is the one who said, you need to tell people about this. You need to share these with people. And it dawned on me that maybe, just maybe, some of what I went through, some of the mistakes that I made might actually be of use to others. And so Mark eventually talked me into writing a blog, and that turned into the book.
Mm. And your focus is on women. I'm interested, as context, what are some things that you would say or are different as it relates to which gender you happen to be from?
You know, I get asked that a lot. Men come up to me and they say, you know, I read your blog all the time and it applies to me as well. And that's absolutely true. There's nothing particularly different except that there happens to be a significant, well, people know about the income gap, but of even greater significance to me is the wealth gap that exists. So the income gap, everybody knows, certainly in Canada, the stats are roughly 20% income gap. So women earn 80 cents to men's dollar. But what surprised me when I started digging into this is that the wealth gap is significantly larger. So women have about 36 to 50 cents of wealth for every dollar that men have. Mm. And that struck me as being very alarming.
Wow.
I saw that in my own business with other women that I helped through credit repair. And I thought, I've got to try to fix this. I've got to try to help women through that. And so I started focusing particularly on women's financial issues.
When Malcolm died, you had a note, but not a real will, not a fully notarized will. What did that mean in terms of the hoops you had to jump through?
Well, in the book, I talk about my fairy godfather. So there was a friend of the family who was a lawyer, and I'd rather not get him into trouble because he waved his magic wand and helped me out with that. He helped to notarize that, let's just put it that way. So for me, when it dawned on me that I did not have a valid will, all of a sudden I realized that there were some accounts that would be frozen simply because I no longer had access to them, or certainly not legally. It meant that I couldn't deal with Malcolm's investments because people ask you for a copy of the will. They want a copy of the death certificate. So I realized in a big hurry, at a time when I was already dealing with a lot of stuff, that this could make my life very, very difficult. And then this person stepped up, helped me out, and it really saved my backside at that time.
Mm. Divorce is something that so many couples deal with. Your focus on it in this context is from a woman's perspective, which I think is great, given what your interest is in particular. Diana's story is a cautionary tale. How would you summarize that, and what would be the lesson that you would put out there for women?
So I think the issue for a lot of the stories that I talk about in the book are composites. So I have to say that first and foremost. I'm trying to remember now, Diana, because I've given them all fake names. I know their real names to actually flip through. So just give me one.
Her husband, Jeff, had a horrible time in his past, and there was infidelity, and she had to move out of the house. It was really just one of those ones.
Yes,
I wanted to bake her a lasagna and go give her a hug.
Yeah, and this is someone, so thank you. This is someone who I had no idea. I know this person and had no idea about her background. When she found out what I was doing, she basically poured me a glass of wine, said, sit down, shut up, and listen, and then told me this story where she married someone who had a very violent background. He wasn't violent, but he saw extreme violence. In his family, there was a death. One parent was killed by the other, and it was just, it was horrific. He had seemed to be over it, but obviously it was not. The old ghost came back to haunt him, And in short, she trusted him implicitly. She ended up signing loan documents. She had no idea that they were loan documents. Like, she just trusted him. He said, oh, this is for our house, sign here. And she ended up signing a lot of stuff away, mm-hmm. ended up homeless when he kept the home. It was an absolutely horrific experience for her.
What's your lesson for people whose circumstances, even if they do end up going through that process, are probably, you know, less dramatic, but still very challenging in their own right?
So I think prevention is, I think, one of the biggest things that comes out of this. So there are two big lessons. Not one of the women, and I make this point over and over again in the book, no one, whether it was death or divorce, nobody saw it coming. And I think it's important because we all have a little bit of moments where we think we're bulletproof, where, and this happens a lot where I talk to people and they say, oh my gosh, well, thank God my husband's in great shape, or I'm in great shape, or our marriage is in great shape. So I think there's a little bit of that feeling of invulnerability. So the one lesson is, don't assume that something like this can't happen to you. The second thing is, just be very careful about ensuring that you have protective documents in place. So divorce is very different from death, obviously. Life insurance is not going to do a thing for you if you get divorced. It will make all the difference in the world if you experience a death. Divorce is more about making sure that you know exactly what the situation is financially. And I talk about a beaver cleaver-like distribution of tasks back in the 50s, where the ladies used to take care of the household tasks and the men used to take care of the money and the investing. We can't afford to do that any longer, both because of divorce, but also because women end up being the financial managers in the household.
Mm. If only because they tend to live longer.
They live
right?
longer.
Like, where's my husband? Well, it's up to me. Now, you do have a lighter chapter on men and tools, where you really advocate that women learn the basics. I mean, that tell us why you feel so strongly about that.
Well, after Malcolm died, I ended up with a house that was in desperate need of repairs. And of course, the rule is that the moment your husband disappears or dies, that's when everything is going to break. And, you know, that's exactly what happened to me. Stuff needed repairing. So now you're having to deal with stuff. And I was actually fairly well versed in repairs. I'd had to be when he was ill. I'm the one who took up the hammer and started swinging it. So it's not like I had no knowledge. And yet, I still found myself in a heck of a pickle when all of a sudden the furnace stops working in the dead of winter on one of the coldest nights ever. And you start thinking, oh my God, and it's a holiday and everybody's closed. Nobody can help you. What do you do? You get a record snowfall that year, of course. What do you do? How do you work the snowblower? We lived on an acreage and a massive, massive driveway, which we thought was the coolest thing when we bought it. Well, not so cool if you're having to figure out how the snowblower works and you can't. You know, you can't get your car out of the driveway. So there are some basic things. And I have two daughters now, and I insist that they have a working knowledge of the basics of a home, the basics of a car, so that they are not entirely vulnerable if they find themselves alone or when they find themselves alone.
Doris, I thank you for your time. You tell some really compelling stories and have some great insight for people. We appreciate you taking some of your time with us.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Doris Belland is the author of Protect Your Purse.